see you, and it's really good to be slowly getting back to normality. Welcome to our Wednesday Bible study evening. Thank you to both Davids for leading us in wonderful worship. It's when David said he likes digging up some of the old songs, and I realised that I knew every single one, that I started to wonder about my age. I know them so well, I didn't even need the words, but it's so good, isn't it? Every song, every worship song is relevant at any age because they're all about the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, Christine's putting up the beginning of my overhead, and it will come up immediately when it comes up with a bit of a joke, so I'll just let you read it when it eventually comes up, which I'm sure will be any second now. But I'll give you time to read this. There's you're not laughing yet, so either you're slow readers or you haven't understood it, but let me read it. There are two chocolate bunnies. One hasn't got a bottom and he's saying my butt hurts, and the other one hasn't got his ears and he's saying what? And there's the other one. This isn't exactly what I had in mind when I asked you to paint the wolf's eggshell. What might I be talking about this evening? What do you get from that little opener? Well, what do the chocolate bunnies signify? What do chocolate bunnies signify? Go back to your... Who said Easter? Yes, absolutely. Now then, human beings love to remember significant events, don't we? Yes. We all like to remember our birthdays, we like to remember perhaps the day we got saved, anniversaries, marriage, all of these things. We like to mark significant events in a lot of different ways. We tend to mark them in terms of acts of remembrance or festivals. And as you know, for example, Remembrance Sunday is on what day? Yeah, the 11th of the 11th of the 11th. The 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. It's easy to remember. And of course, we've done some study on the Feasts and Festivals of Israel in our Bible studies. And we have seen that there are many festivals in the Bible. God told Israel and gave them a pattern of festivals to remember all the significant events. But then all of that's contained more or less, it is contained in the Old Testament. And then when Jesus came in the flesh, he died on the cross and he rose from the grave, the Christians over a period of time wanted to mark certain things about Jesus Christ, and in came what we would call Christian festivals, but which Easter and Christmas, as you and I think know, they're not festivals in the Bible. Did you know that?
Yes.
They're not festivals in the Bible. But we are creatures of habit. We like to remember significant events. And so the Christians have actually had the birth of Jesus at Christmas and the death of Jesus at Easter. Now, I was thinking about special days. And we have lots of special days leading up to Easter. Now, Easter isn't coming yet, is it? We're not even at Christmas. But I wanted you to think about Christian festivals, what they mean, and I'm going to unpack a particular aspect of Easter that I hope you will find really, really interesting. You can tell me afterwards. But stick with me, and on the next couple of slides you'll realise where I'm going. So I was thinking about special days that we have leading up to Easter. Who likes pancakes? I love pancakes. And that would be Shrove Tuesday, then there would be an Ash Wednesday, then there would be a Maundy Thursday, and actually in Easter week we tend to do something along these lines ourselves because we want to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus, and because the period of Easter is around the time of the Jewish Passover. Now you and I both know, as we will see, that both Easter and Christmas is centered around pagan festivals, isn't it? And I'll explain a little bit about that. And the Christian church did want all the people to celebrate the pagan festivals, so they Christianized them. Now tonight, I'm not looking at the politics as to whether we should celebrate Christmas or not, or whether we should celebrate Easter or not. But I wanted to tell you something significant about the Easter week, what the Bible says about Jesus Christ last week, particularly how long he was in the grave, so when he was crucified, when he died, when he was buried, and when he rose again. And you'll certainly get what I'm getting extremely sure. So then we have Maundy Thursday, which we celebrated here last year, or this year rather. Then we have what is known as Good Friday. And of course, most Christians, or we grow up, don't we, thinking that Jesus died on Friday and he rose on Sunday. Is that true? Well, that's what I'm going to be unpacking tonight from the Bible, to just point out the timeline of exactly what happened in that week with Jesus. Now, I'm going to have to quickly look back to check that the right slide has come up, because as we're in the new building, you might remember I normally have a screen down here and I can see what's going on behind me, but we're still setting up our screen, trying to make it better, so I'm going to have to quickly look back to check that the right slide is up. This is why I've got two fantastic lecterns. It's not because I'm doubly intelligent. It's because I've got one with my slides and one with my text. Okay, so I know exactly where I am. Now, traditions, as we all know, they can become very ingrained, and they can stay with us even when we know they're wrong. Yeah? Do you know what I mean? We can easily make a habit of something, and they stay with us. So even though we know it's wrong, we can't seem to get rid of the habit. You see, as human beings, we like patterns of life, we like a structure in life, we certainly like our traditions, and we can, as people, get trapped in tradition and trapped in legalism, and we need to be very careful of that as Christians. And we might know why they're wrong, or have a feeling of knowledge, it doesn't quite fit with what the Bible says. So on this one, I'm hoping to clear up many of the questions that you might have. I mean, I remember when I was a prison chaplain, you all know I was a prison chaplain. Well, in David was talking about prisons as well. As a prison chaplain, then each religion was allowed to celebrate its own particular festivals. So the Muslims would celebrate Ramadan and the festival of Eid, and the Christians would try to celebrate Christmas. But the problem with the Christians celebrating Christmas is that that's when the staff levels were very low, and so the Christians were not allowed to have their own festival with food on the 25th of December. So anyway, because this had been happening, I went to all the senior directors of the company, and I sat down and I said, now this year, the Christian lads would really like to celebrate Christmas dinner as a congregation together in the chapel. But we realise that December the 25th is when most of the staff at home celebrated Christmas with their families, and that we don't have the staff to allow them to come to the chapel. So I said, I would put a proposal to you, let's celebrate Christmas on the 17th of December. To which a number of directors piped up and said, you can't do that. I said, well, why can't we do that? And he said, everyone knows that Jesus Christ was born on the 25th of December. I said, oh no, he wasn't. And they all shouted back, oh yes, he was. And to which I said, who's the chaplain? Who's been to Bible college? But you see, their tradition, their belief was so strong that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. But we all know, I hope we all know, he certainly was not. Now, the festival dates of Christmas and Easter in our Christian calendar actually originate from the position of the sun on our screen in the sky at significant dates. And I don't know whether you know this, but the 25th of December is 4 days after the 21st of December. Did you know that?
Yes.
You've got good maths degrees. The 25th of December is 4 days after the 21st of December. And the 21st of December is the lowest point of the sun in the sky. It is the winter equinox. But the 25th of December, and this you might not know, is the earliest time that the human eye can discern that the sun is actually rising in the sky and spring is on the way. And so in paganism, they had huge celebrations on the 25th of December because they were all watching for that sun to come up, so they knew they were going to live for another year. They knew there was going to be a spring and a harvest and a summer and autumn. And that is why they chose the 25th of December for a great celebration. And of course, that's a celebration when the church has come along and said, tell all the pagans that is when Jesus Christ was born. And that's when Christians choose to celebrate, not the pagan festival, but to remember Jesus was born from heaven as a man, grew as a child, and he lived among us. And it doesn't matter what day we particularly choose, we as Christians want to celebrate the birth of Christ, at least I want to, and it doesn't matter what day we do it on, but Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. Did you know that?
Yes.
Easter, similarly, is centred around the vernal equinox, and that is the equinox of the sun in the sky around March and April. And the vernal equinox coincides more or less, they choose it closest to the vernal equinox, with Easter Sunday and holidays that are related to it. And how do we get our vernal equinoxes? How do we get our equinoxes? Well, a little bit of astrology or physics for you. Did you know that the Earth is tilted on its axis by 23.5 degrees? Did you know that? So the Earth, the ball, is tilted on its axis, which is why we get the seasons. So as the sun, oh, Christine, you know what? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God for Christine, she's on the ball. The sun, as the earth, as it spins and goes round the year around the sun, because it is at an angle, as it goes round the sun, you can see that the sun shines much more in one hemisphere than the other one, which is why we have summers in the northern hemisphere in summer months, and then in January, February, March, in our winter, then the southern hemisphere has got their summer. As the Earth revolves around the sun, there are two moments each year when the sun is exactly above the equator. And these moments are called the equinoxes. And they occur around March the 24th or 21st, and also September the 22nd or the 23rd. Now, equinox literally means equal night, since the length of the day and of the night is equal, nearly equal, in all parts of the world during the equinoxes. Now the March or the spring equinox marks when the northern hemisphere starts to tilt towards the sun, which means longer sunnier days, and it means that summer is coming, hallelujah. Now we are just tilting into our autumn, so the sun, the earth is now tilting away from the sun for us in the northern hemisphere, so we are moving into autumn and winter. Now then, Easter is close to the timings of the events of the Jewish Passover. And the Jewish Passover starts on the 15th day of Nisan. You don't need to remember all of this, you need to just get the scope of it. So the Passover starts on the 15th day of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar, and Passover celebration lasts about 7 or 8 days. And this takes place usually in April. So what happened as the pagans are celebrating their pagan fertility around March, April, because spring is coming, the sun is rising, we're going to have a harvest, we're all really happy. It happened to coincide more or less with the real festival of Passover in Scripture, when, as we know, Passover is all about Israel leaving Egypt, coming from slavery into freedom. But it was at the Passover time that Jesus had his last week, wasn't it? Which we'll see in a moment. It's around the Passover that Jesus was crucified, died, and was raised from the dead. And so the Easter timing that we have to celebrate this as Christians is kind of linking these two dates together, but it's Christianizing the pagan stuff and saying we ditch that, but we are going to celebrate Jesus' salvation to the world in his death on the cross and his resurrection. So this is why we have Christmas when we do, and why we have Easter when we do, and it's got quite a lot to do with the sun and how the sun and how the earth runs around the sun. Now the question before us for the rest of our study tonight, as just a basic introduction, is this. Remembering God or remembering Good Friday? And my question is this one. Did Jesus die on Good Friday? Certainly that is what Christendom celebrates on Friday. We have a day off and we celebrate Easter. But did Jesus actually die on a Friday, and did he rise on a Sunday? What do you think? What do you think the Bible says? We have strong traditions that are hard to break, but we also have traditions which are practical. I mean, I understand it makes sense to celebrate on Good Friday because it's close to a weekend. If Jesus died on Wednesday, you have a day off on Wednesday, although isn't today a red day in Spain? Yes. It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
so we could celebrate on the actual day. But it's the spirit of our remembering that really counts. But I want to teach you the truth that I believe, and I hope I will get across to you exactly the day that Jesus died, the fact that Jesus fulfills all prophecy that was said about him in the scriptures. You can trust the Bible. It always turns out to be correct. And even though it can be quite hard to understand, and as we come up to some of my timelines, I hope you're not too tired. And I hope you're not too hot to try to focus and receive the mathematics of it, which isn't too great, to be honest. Apparently, a child of 5 could understand it, but you should see what they're studying in schools at the age of 5. Crump, I couldn't do it. Anyway, let's move on with this question. Did Jesus die on Good Friday? I won't ask for a show of hands. I'm going to say up front, no, he didn't. And you haven't said, oh yes, he did, so that's good. So, let's look at what the Bible says. So, let's look at, now we studied the book of Jonah, didn't we? You remember in Bible study, we looked at the sign of Jonah, which is the only sign that Jesus gave about who he truly was and what he was going to truly do to all of those who said, show us a sign, give us a sign. And you all know that Jesus said, this is the sign. You know I take the Bible literally. 3 days and 3 nights equals 72 hours. It's up there on the screen. I've done the maths for you. So the Bible says that Jesus was in the grave. He died. He was in the grave for 72 hours, 3 days and 3 nights. And the basis for that comes straight from Scripture. Jesus Christ promised in advance exactly how much time he would spend in the grave, and he called it the sign of the prophet Jonah. So when the religious asked for another sign, this is what Jesus said. And I hope you can read that on the screen. It's getting a bit better. Matthew 12, 39 to 40. Okay, here we go. And Jesus said this. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights dead in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights dead in the heart of the earth, at least his physical body. Jesus sets out the scope of his last week. When he was going to die, how long he was going to be in the grave, it's 3 days, 3 nights, 72 hours. And Jesus referred to this great miracle from the book of Jonah. And we know, because we've studied it, that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, and then God told the fish to spit him out, and he got spat out at Nineveh. And you remember all of that. And As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, this indicated that Jonah himself was dead for 3 days and 3 nights, and he was resurrected as a true type of Christ. If you're not sure about that, go to the website, go and look up the book of Jonah. There's quite a lot of teaching where I ask the question, was Jonah alive or dead in the belly of the whale or the fish? And everyone ended up agreeing, I think, that he was actually dead, because Jonah is a true type of Christ, and Christ is referring to this great event for his last week. So Jesus said himself that he would be dead for a literal 72 hours. And that is the mathematical calculation of 3 times 24 hours equals 72 hours, or 3 days and 3 nights. Whew. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Right, brilliant. So what I want to look at is just 4 areas, very briefly, each area, although you will need to concentrate, and I'll talk you through the screens that are showing what was happening in that last week. So I want to look at the exact timing of Jesus' death. I'm sure you know that the Bible tells us more or less within kind of minutes, really, the timing of his death, or the exact hour of his death, and within a few minutes or so, the timing of his burial. The Bible is very specific about some of these things. So we want to look at the timing of his death. Specifically, I want to work out for you exactly what day did Jesus die. Because if he didn't die on Good Friday, and the reason why he didn't is because Good Friday, death, Saturday, Sunday, he rose on the first day, didn't he, on Sunday. There is not 72 hours from a Friday to a Saturday, a Sunday morning. It does not fit. So we want to look at the day of his death. We want to look at the timing of his resurrection. Only that's quite easy to do. But we also want to look at the day of his resurrection, which I've already given away. It was either Saturday or Sunday. We'll take a poll in a moment. So the Bible does give us the information that we need to work out Jesus' last week and the timings and activities of that week to prove from the Bible he literally spent 72 hours in the grave. So I'm going to tell you that we do know the timing of his death, we do know the timing of his death, we do know the timing of his resurrection, and we do know the day of his resurrection. And that's what we're now going to look at in the next few slides or so. So let's start with the timing of Jesus' death. And the Bible gives the timings of Jesus' death. And when we read Mark chapter 15, 25 to 34, it says this: "It was the third hour when they crucified him." And then if we look at Mark 15 and 33, it says this: "At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And then 37, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last." We know this. Excuse me. We know that Jesus Christ was crucified. If I can show you. The third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour is Hebrew time, which is down here, okay? And at the third hour, Jesus was crucified. At the ninth hour, Jesus died. At the 12th hour, he was buried. I think I convinced you by reading that from Scripture. And I have converted Hebrew time, Jewish time, into Greek time. So Hebrew time to Greek time is this: the third hour is 9 o'clock in the morning. The ninth hour, when Jesus died, and most of us know that hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and often there's an hour at the station of the cross around that time. And he was buried at the 12th hour, which is 6 o'clock in the evening. And of course, that was just before sundown. As you remember, that there is a real rush to get Jesus buried And there are specific reasons for that. They had to get him buried before that sun set. Okay. So, Jewish days, Hebrew time, and this is where you need to concentrate a little bit, and I hope you can hold it. I have to say, it took me a while myself to get through the Greek time and the Hebrew time, which is what we've got to try to unpack. Now, Jewish days run from sunset to sunset, okay? So from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Greek time tends to, well, runs from midnight to midnight. Did you know that? Yeah? So that's why you get the Shabbat is like overnight. It's on the evening of the Friday, it goes all the way from the Saturday to the evening. That's why Shabbat or the Jewish Sabbath is in Jewish time, and so it starts in the evening at 6, their day is 6, all the way back round to 6 o'clock, okay? And it can make you feel a little bit complicated. But in our time, Jesus died at 3 o'clock, and he was buried in the grave just before sunset, 6 o'clock our time, around that Passover period in March and April in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, it does not matter how you try to make it work, 3 nights and 3 days, a 72-hour time period does not fit from Friday evening, so Friday evening, 6 o'clock, into Sunday morning at daybreak. You've basically got just one night a day and nothing. So in fact, it's probably, I think I should have worked out for you, it's nearly half the time. So either we've got it wrong or the Bible's got it wrong. Well, I start from the point of view the Bible's never wrong. It's just that I might not understand it. So I need to do a bit of digging, and I'm trying to show you the digging that we've done. So our tradition actually is wrong. Jesus did not die at 3 o'clock on Friday. It's a different day. Now, the way to explain this, and the Bible does tell us, in fact, is that in the year that Jesus died, it was a very special week. There was a lot more going on than just the regular single Passover. You see, every now and then, there would be double celebrations would come into the Jewish calendar, and there was a special week that week. It's called the Passover week, and there were two Sabbaths. Sabbath means a rest day from work and a setting aside to make yourself holy, or concrete consecration, if you like. And John 19 starts to unpack some of what was happening in Jesus' last week. You see, we tend to think that there was just a normal Sabbath. You know, Friday night and Saturday was a Sabbath. But there's more going on in the week of Jesus' last life. Last week. So let's read John 19:31, and it says this. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Not a normal Sabbath. The normal Sabbath happened every single week. It was Friday, 6 o'clock, all the way around to 6 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. But here, immediately, and many scholars have pieced this together, but so many have actually missed it. John 19:31, it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. So we know that Jesus died around Passover. He shared the Passover meal the night before he was crucified. And that happened to fall on a special Sabbath day, that particular year, in that particular period, and it fell on a special Sabbath day, and you know you can't do any work on Sabbaths. You can't bury anybody on a Sabbath, you can't cook on a Sabbath, you can't do this on a Sabbath, and that is why there was such a rush to have Jesus buried before the Sabbath actually started. And of course the Sabbath started in Jewish time, 6 o'clock in the evening. And so Jesus had to try and get buried just before 6 o'clock in the evening. Otherwise, they would have broken the Sabbath. and everything would be completely unholy and it would be awful. Now, the thing is that when we make a close inspection of the Bible text, it reveals to us that there were, as I have said, two Sabbaths in the week that Jesus died. And it was known, one of them was known as the High Sabbath. That was the Passover event. The Passover event is known as the High Sabbath. It's Passover week. And then the regular Sabbath was Friday evening, 6 o'clock to Saturday, 6 o'clock. The Passover creates and created a special Sabbath. I mean, the Jews, they celebrate Passover for 6 or 7 days. Very strict rules about what they can do in those days. And this is the week of the High Sabbath Passover event. And then later on in that week is the regular Sabbath. So the Bible speaks of Sabbaths and High Sabbaths. And Passover week always included a preparation day for the Passover. The Passover day itself, which is a High Sabbath, and the regular Saturday or Sunday is another Sabbath. Jesus was not crucified on Good Friday, the day before the regular Sabbath. He was actually crucified on the day before the High Sabbath, which was the preparation day for the Passover. And John proves that for us in John 19, 31, which I'm going to have to read to you. So John 19, 30 to 31, verse 30 says this. I haven't got that, I'm afraid, on the screen, so I'll read it. John 19, verse 30 says this. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation. And the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have their legs broken and the bodies taken down. So the day that Jesus died, when he had received the drink, he said it was finished. Salvation has come to the earth, forgiveness. He bowed his head, gave up his spirit. But then John goes on to say that was the day of preparation. And the next day is a special Sabbath. So, they were in a hurry to bury Jesus before the Sabbath began. But we need to know fairly soon, what day was that special preparation day? What day was the preparation day? What day was the special Sabbath? Now, before I do that, just park all that information, I just want us to move to what is fairly simple. That was fairly difficult, but let's move to what is fairly simple. We know when Jesus rose from the dead, okay? And this is where we've got our tradition correct by having worship on a Sunday. It would be better if we started an hour before Sunday started. So if we started at 11 o'clock, that would be closer to when Jesus rose from the dead. But it's clear that we've got our tradition right by praising God on a Sunday. So Matthew 28 says this. After the Sabbath, now this is the regular Sabbath they're now talking about, not the special Sabbath, but after the Sabbath, because remember Jesus is in the grave for 72 hours, and his resurrection has to come after 72 hours. So, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, which is a Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen." So we know at dawn, sunrising, dawn, on the first day of the week, when Mary and Mary went, Jesus had already risen. He had already risen. So Jesus, as I was showing you, actually rose from the dead just before sunrise on the Sabbath, which was the Saturday, coming into the Sunday, the first day of the week. So, the two Marys go to the tomb. At dawn on the Sunday, Jesus has already risen. Do you know who's getting bitten by mosquitoes? I've got blood coming from my legs. I've just scratched a mosquito bite. Anyway, Hannah will get it off me later. So, since Jesus was buried very close to sunset on the very special preparation day, he must have risen at a similar time, 3 days later, 72 hours later, to fulfill the prophecy. So he must have risen just before sunset on Saturday, and then he gets sunrise up for the Sunday. Now, let's start to put, he rose just for sunrise on the Sunday. Now let's start to put together the other dates and times that we know about this week. I should say that the rest of the Bible studies this year will not be this mathematical, or indeed this tricky, but this will come together in a moment. Let's put together the dates and times we know about in this week. We know that Jesus' last meal was the Passover. We know the key dates for Passover as they are expressed in the Bible. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast on the first day of the sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days present an offering made to the Lord by fire, and on the seventh day hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. So Passover starts at twilight on the 14th of the first month. That is called Nisan. On the 15th of Nisan, that's the first day of unleavened bread to be eaten for 7 days up until the end of the 22nd of Nisan. So on the first day of the festival, on the 15th, no work can be done. So here's my theory, or here is what I gleaned from all the experts around the world. So it was on the 14th of Nisan that Jesus instituted the Last Supper at the Passover meal that would be just after sunset. It is here that Jesus interprets the Passover meal in the communion that we celebrate today. The bread is Jesus' body and the wine is his blood. So, up is now coming a key slide which I will explain, which puts all of this together in picture format. I like pictures. I can't hold the information I've given you, but hopefully this will now make sense as we look at this slide. So here are the key events in the last week of Jesus' life. Let's start to piece together what the Bible says about two Sabbaths, a preparation day, the Passover, the timings of Jesus' death, and when he rose from the grave. And we are going to start to see, and it's there by the little red dot, that Jesus was buried, he died, was crucified, died, and was buried, actually on the Wednesday, which was the preparation day, Nisan 14. Because Nisan 15 is the special Sabbath where no work can be done whatsoever. They had to get him buried before the special Sabbath. So as we try to piece this together, day by day, throughout the last week of Jesus' life, we can see that the Tuesday was the night of the Passover, which begins shortly after sunset. And that is the Tuesday, and it was on the night that he was betrayed at Passover, that night that Jesus said he was going to be betrayed and he was going to die, the very next day. It was during the night of the trial done in secret and all the rest of that stuff. But this Nisan 14 was the preparation day for the Passover. Wednesday is Jesus has died at the time of Passover, but he had to be buried before the special Sabbath. So Jesus died and was buried on Wednesday, and he was buried just before the sun went down. They got him there just in time. there wasn't enough time to embalm him with all the spices to follow all the ritual, which is why the two Marys, they rushed to the first opportunity they had, which was after the normal Sabbath. They rushed there to anoint his body with all of the spices. That's why they ran there to do that for Jesus. So, let's try to piece this all together in the next 10 minutes, and hopefully you'll go away from here going, I might have understood all of it, but I can actually see what Chris was getting at, and I've had a better understanding of the last week of Jesus' life. And therefore, I'm going to go on the website, and I'm going to look at this again, particularly these charts, and I will stick on my wall, and I'll be able to piece it together for myself. So, what I want to do is start with our end date. You know, sometimes it's easy to work from an end date, isn't it? You know, I work to end dates. If I've got to get something done, I want to know the end date. So if we start from when Jesus rose from the dead, we know that Jesus rose from the dead on the cusp, on just before the sunrise scenario. Because it was around sunrise that the two Marys go to the tomb, and Jesus is already gone. He is not there. They were up fast. They were up early. The earliest opportunity they can do any work, and they're there trying to get past the weekly Sabbath so that they can anoint Jesus' body. So if we work back, and that would be Nisan 17 or 18. So these are just Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, Jesus rose from the dead around the Sunday morning. It's easier, we just think of the Sunday morning, okay. So if we work back 3 days and 3 nights, 72 hours, actually does correctly take us back, 72 hours if you work it out, takes us back to just before sunset on the Wednesday. It is literally true. Jesus was in the grave 72 hours, and it fits with the Passover and the special preparation day moving into the Sabbath where they could do no work. It all fits with Scripture. So we know that Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock. He died at 3 o'clock our time. That means that Jesus celebrated the Passover on the Tuesday evening, shortly after sunset. I tried to show that with a little white dot. And then he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, was captured, and the trial was held that night. So let's put a bit more information with some words on our... what am I doing? That's the same. Did you see that? I've got a little moving dot, which I don't know why I put a moving dot. Don't worry about it. Now we know that Passover starts at twilight on Nisan 14. Passover starts at twilight. And the key date of Nisan 15, the key date, remember this is Hebrew time, so the key date is night time, but the key date of Nisan 15 was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread that lasts for 7 days. So Nisan 15 is the first day of unleavened bread, and crucially, a sacred assembly of no work could be done on that day. That's why Jesus had to be buried quickly, just before sunset. Now Nisan 16 is another key day. Nisan 16 is another key day. That's why I've checked it. It's got more writing on it. So, Nisan 16 is another key day, as it was after the high Sabbath and the Passover, but it was just before the normal weekly Sabbath. This is the day that the women were allowed to go out and get the spices to anoint Jesus' body, but it takes a lot of time to prepare the spices. They didn't have the spices. They go out to buy the spices on this day, Nisan 16, because the special Sabbath is now finished, but it takes a long time to prepare the spices. So they couldn't go to Jesus on that day. They had to wait until the spices had mellowed, they put all the oils in, and it was ready for anointing. So they had to wait because that night they're moving into the normal weekly Sabbath. And you know on the Sabbath you can do no work. So they have to wait an extra day because the normal Sabbath has now hit them. So the earliest opportunity to anoint Jesus' body was actually when they ran to the tomb, which was that crucial sunrise on Sunday. So Mark 16 says this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Naomi brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. They then had to wait until after the normal Sabbath to go to the tomb. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. So the scriptures confirming what I've told you, when the special Sabbath day was over from the Passover, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they went out and bought spices to go and anoint Jesus' body, full stop. They then had to wait until after the normal Sabbath, which is the normal Sabbath. They then had to wait after the normal Sabbath, Friday night and Saturday, before to go to the tomb. So very early on the first day of the week, very early, crack of dawn, they get up and they, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. That is Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 2. That's what it says. Right. That's my last slide. So, Nisan 17, if we come to Nisan 17, this is the week of Sabbath from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. I've told you that. The first red dot on the preparation days and the Passover, which is happening, is when Jesus is entombed. It happened in a hurry, and this is the summary so I finish. He had to be buried before Nisan 15, the special Sabbath. It's a sacred assembly, as we have read. No one could buy anything or do any work. He was buried in such a hurry that they couldn't get the spices for burial. So the girls, they all go out on the first opportunity to get the spices for burial, which is Nisan 16, the Friday. And the second red dot is when Jesus rose from the dead. I hope expressing it this way is, and reading the scriptures, which you can go and research for yourself, is piecing this together. I am hoping that I have proof from scripture that Jesus was not crucified, dead, and buried on the Friday. It had to be the Wednesday. That these two dots is exactly 72 hours. That Jesus told the truth with his sign of Jonah, that he would be in the grave the 3 days and 3 nights of the whale of the earth. We work back from his, we work back through the 72 hours. We've read the scriptures that actually giving us the facts. It was a very special week. It was a double Sabbath going on. And for me, it all makes sense and it all fits together. But I must confess, in doing this Bible study, which I did last year, I was going to do it last Easter, but something popped up. Because I had it now, that's why I've done it, because it was done, and that takes some pressure off of me. But it did take a bit of thinking through. But hopefully, if you go and get that from the website, you'll be able to line it all up and have it settle in your hearts that the Bible has given us the full facts of Jesus' last week. So I believe what I've told you, what the Bible has said, what I've read out, actually shows that this was the week of Jesus, that yes, he died and was buried on the Wednesday evening, straight to the tomb for 3 days and three nights, and he rose around just 72 hours, Sunday morning is as close as we can get. And that is why we have worship. Our tradition is to worship Jesus on Sunday, which we do because we know that it's the first day of the next week that he rose from the dead. What the people who set Easter all those hundreds of years ago, maybe 1500 years ago, when they said Easter, They were more concerned about the equinoxes that are going on than the truth of the Bible. And they didn't understand the truths of the Bible, and they got the wrong dates. But we commend that at a time of the year, around Nisan 14 to 18, that actually it's around that time every year when the Jews are celebrating the truth about their Passover, although they are absolutely accurate in their calendar, around that time, we are celebrating with the slight inaccuracies of our calendar, but with the same sentiment that Jesus actually did everything he said he did, and it's right to celebrate something like that at some time in the year. We have chosen to do it, and the main reason for me that I do it is it's so close to the real events of the Jewish Passover. And whatever, I'm not here to say it's right or wrong. I know there are different views at times, but it's absolutely right to have some celebration. In fact, every Sunday we celebrate this week, don't we? Every Sunday we sing it, we celebrate it, we talk about it. So we are free to celebrate this the life, of death, resurrection of Jesus every single day. Hallelujah. Amen.